this is Brian Wampler with another episode of the Chasing Tone Podcast, a podcast about guitars, amps, effects, as well as a healthy dose of interesting off-topic discussions. Joining me today again is Blake Weiland, host of the Tone Mob Podcast, an entrepreneur and effects pedal junkie, as well as Richard Oliver, Wampler's own man of many hats, a longtime tone chaser and a digital entrepreneur. Hello, fellas.
Hi.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I should
good
practice evening. Doing that in like a really good robotic voice.
Good evening.
Before we get started, Bri, you've got some things in shot that are not released. I'm just going to let you know that. That's better.
Wait, I missed it. I looked down. I dropped my pick, my fiddle pick.
Unlucky.
Oh, now I have to find something else to fidget with while we... Aha.
I didn't...
Found one. Guitar string winder. Perfect.
I mean, we can show Blake, but it's not fair on the listeners, Bri.
Yeah, that's true.
We've been teasing them for too long.
We don't want anybody to see that quadruple tumness.
Shh.
You know? Sorry.
Hey, Brian, shh. You don't want to show them that, and you don't want to show them the ego tumness hybrid that you have going on either.
You know what's better than one clone circuit? Four clone circuits.
I mean, I'm there for it. I think four might be really, really nice.
Be like a super mid-range peak.
It's going to make better.
Yeah.
You know, what's great about that, though, if you did make that, you could turn it on and you wouldn't hear anything because it's transparent.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Super transparent.
Oh, don't get me started.
Especially if you're at that 1K frequency.
That's right.
Super transparent.
I understand what people mean when they say transparent. I've never understood why anyone thinks that a clone is transparent.
But when you turn the gain down, it's fairly transparent because that's just clean boost circuit.
Yeah, but even then,
there's still some filtering, yeah.
Yeah, there's some
sure.
high mids going on there that, but, yeah.
Yeah.
You can hear. It's not even subjective. It's there.
Mm-hmm. It is totally there. Yeah.
Can we start using the term opaque? I think we should make that a term for pedals.
This is the
most opaque overdrive we've ever made. It entirely muddies your tone. You will not hear yourself one bit when you play this pedal.
Who wants to cut through those nasty frequencies? Just blend in with everything else.
That's every frequency with the new white noise tumness.
why choose just one?
That's right. To be fair, I do have pedals that definitely are opaque. They definitely completely transform my tone into something completely different. Like sequencers. Mm-hmm. That's fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm, sequencers are fun.
Yes.
I have a plan for a special synth pedal that I've told Brian about, and he half understood what I meant and then glazed over as I tried to explain it in detail. But it will happen one day if I have my way.
I'm here for it. Whatever it is,
it's
I'm
unique.
Here for it.
It's unique and it's based on some classic tricks, but, you know, that's enough of my ramblings.
Well, at some point, why don't you just buy a keyboard?
I have a keyboard. I have several synthesizers.
Keep this keyboard stuff out of guitar pedals. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, Dad.
Tell you what, right there. Hey, speaking of my country voice.
Oh,
did I, right? Gosh dang, got that thing
that
right
is
there.
So, completely false. Nobody in America speaks like that at all.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I've never met one who's related to me.
this is more for Richard, but I was at the doctor's office getting my blood drawn because here, I need to be anally probed here in a few weeks for my physical by my doctor. Anyway, so I was getting my blood drawn.
Too much information.
Actually, I swear a year ago, we talked about this exact same thing because, who was it? One of the Wampler Tone Group members, like, I don't need to hear about your prostate exam on the podcast.
All of them.
Yeah, but one, there was several that were quite vocal about it.
Well, so, first of all, that is literally the first conversation that Brian and I ever had was on the Tone Mob podcast years and years ago. And literally, that is what he talked about.
Truth. So,
mm-hmm.
Yep.
But we're not talking about it now, are we, Brian? What are we talking about?
What are we talking about?
So when someone says that pretentious jerk, I'm like, yes, that's me. Afraid to talk about anything degrading to my self-esteem. So anyways, I'm at the doctor's office because they're going to, you know, withdraw my vampire blood or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was waiting
and waiting and wait. And I'm like, son of a... Anyway, so I'm waiting and waiting, and in walks this fella. And he's like, tell you what, got your thing right there. Got an appointment to get my blood done is what I'm trying to do right here. And he just kept going and going. I'm like, this is too good. I got to record this. So, of course, I did get out my phone and record a bit of the conversation so I could prove to Richard that person does exist here in Indiana.
Are we going to play this on the podcast?
I feel that would be a bad move politically.
I think legally that's not something also I can do legally. Without permission.
I think you're not technically supposed to record him legally.
Well, I mean, this is a theoretical story. This didn't actually happen. Yeah. Allegedly. This is just an
allegation here. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't say I actually did. I said I thought about doing it.
Yeah, he thought about doing it, and we thought about not playing it on the podcast. So
and you right. definitely didn't do that, though.
I definitely did not do that. 100% fact.
Uh-huh. Well,
just thought about it.
I am completely convinced of your innocence, and I would obviously have loved to have heard the ramblings of a countryside gentleman, but I guess I'm just going to have to imagine it.
Oh, he had the long ponytail.
Oh, yeah. It was majestic.
It was, and I don't have anything against ponytails, but there's this certain stereotype of a person I'm thinking of that's just.
You look like Dog the Bounty Hunter.
It looked like Dog the Bounty Hunter, pretty much. Yep.
I had a 90s ponytail. I don't know if you remember the 90s ponytail, Bri, but it went with like a glittery puffer jacket, jeans, and massive trainers. That was the sort of 90s rave look.
I would sure appreciate a photo of that, and I would appreciate if you would bring that look back. I would like that.
I'm not going to believe that until I see a picture of it.
Mm-hmm. I have shown you a picture of me with long hair on the drum kit. It was about 6 months after that. There are no pictures. It was my picture-shy time, and also long before phones were around that could take picture. Back then, phones were things you plugged into walls. I had a pager. Do you remember those ones with the little...
Oh, man. I'm picturing Richard with this look and just a massive pager.
My Vodafone pager. I was the man.
You don't get any cooler than that.
Reminds me of the movie Hangover. Is this hotel pager friendly?
I remember
my parents getting a pager and I was like, but then you have to find a phone.
Yes.
Like I'm really confused by the utility of the pager unless you're a secret agent. I'm not 100% with it.
Yeah. The phrase beep me hasn't been used for a long time.
Well, it means
something. Well, it has, but in a slightly different context.
OnlyFans.
Mine was when I was working in IT support. So we actually had, because this is how far ahead we were, back in 95, we had a server that was running on the internet and could page me if it went down. So I would randomly just get pages from a machine going, please change tape in drive 2 at like 3 a.m. Be like, ah! But yeah, we were ahead of the curve there. That's when we had one internet account shared between an entire company.
And country.
Were you like super country. 28K BPS?
33.6, baby. Ooh. Oh, we rode those.
Wow.
Those demodulated waves.
Download that MP3 in at least 7 hours.
Whoa. MP3 hasn't been invented yet. We were still downloading WAV files and JPEGs. That's all we had.
No GIFs?
No GIFs?
Oh, GIFs? Plenty of the GIFs. I was all about the GIFs.
So that reminds me of something. Brian and I know we've talked about this guy on the show before because we like to nerd out on marketing things. But Gary Vee just had a very interesting post that fits along these lines that I thought was quite fun. You know, he was obviously big on digital marketing and different forms of communication on the interwebs. But he actually goes back even further. He was mentioning how he was one of the first people that he was aware of to do fax machine marketing. So he would send out thousands of faxes, like manually, through his fax machine to various people who signed him.
Yeah. That wanker. We'd get these faxes come through to our company, like, you know, Chinese massage and things like that.
Oh, this was like, buy my wine. Like, have some Pinot Noir.
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant.
He would get people calling him back, Because, you know, fax can take a while. If you send one at 2 p.m., it might actually, like, show up at 2 a.m. And so he's, like, getting people calling him, stop sending me your Pinot Noir ads. I'm trying to put my baby to sleep at 3 in the morning. And the fax machine's going off. So, funny stuff.
It's not a bad impersonation. I'm so happy the fax is dead.
It's, you know what, the funny thing, it's not
amongst lawyers. Lawyers use them still today.
And why?
And doctors, some doctors' offices, actually a lot of doctors' offices here do. They're like, you need to fax that. I'm like, yeah, because that's so much more secure than email.
I'll fax it from 1990 to you. How about that?
Right. Wait, when I fax something sensitive, let it sit out for everyone to see. Totally fine, though. Sure, it's fine.
Why do they, is there an actual utility or reason behind why, or they just don't want to buy a new computer or what?
Don't the IRS require faxes as well, just because, like, how can we overcomplicate this? I got an idea. You have to fax us from a 513 area code.
Hmm.
You know, that sounds like an IRS thing.
That does. Whatever's the least convenient.
Right.
I'm getting just the slightest sense of anger from you towards those in the finance profession there, Bri.
It's almost bitter.
As if you've been forced to pay what you owe the world.
I thought I was having another prostate exam this week from the IRS. I really did. They're like, all right, so we're just going to stick this up your behind.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
This fax machine.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's basically what the IRS did to me this week.
Could have been fantastic. A lot worse. It could have been one of the new Joe Bonamassa action figures, and that would have hurt.
Mm. That would have, because there's like little sharp bits.
And they've got like 22 levels of articulation. You can pose Joe in whatever shape you so desire.
That can't go south at all.
That's never going to cause any really bad internet memes, no matter what you say.
Yeah, it says rock out with 13 points of articulation. Wow, that's just great.
I mean, I remember when I was a kid and sort of, you know, I'd be playing with my Legos, I'd be playing with my Star Wars figures, but I'd be sitting there going, what I really need is a middle-aged man playing the guitar, because my life will be complete in my play zone then.
You know, I'm here for it. I'm here for it. I hope he sells a lot of them.
I wish him the greatest of success in the world. Of course I do. He's a marketing genius.
So what you're saying is we need Chasing Tone figures, right?
I did think about, you know, like...
We talked about this with later figures before.
A Chibson-style Brian Wampler action figure could come with...
Am I carrying a goat like a baby?
No, the goat would be like... Yeah, I mean, if we think like, the G.I. Joe figures used to come with several different accessories. So you'd have a goat, you'd have a tin of chewing tobacco, you'd probably come with your very own lawnmower.
And a jar of peanut butter.
A massive jar of peanut butter and yogurt. You'd have like interchangeable New Balance trainers or just bare, hairy-assed feet. you could have one with like a string you pull and it would make like standard Brian quotations at you, like, leave that trim pot alone.
Or I've had a lot of coffee today.
I would buy one of those, definitely. My wife might also want one, but I think she's a practicing voodoo priest at the moment. Different reasons.
That a lot. Yeah.
Like, man, I don't know why my shoulder just really has a sharp, stinging pain.
Sharp, super sharp pain in it.
Ow! Right now. Ow! It happens every time we record. I don't understand.
No, she loves you guys muchly, honestly. Right.
That's a lie.
Moving on swiftly.
real quick, before I forget, and speaking of funny accents and stuff, did you guys happen to see the JHS video this particular week?
YouTube video or
the YouTube video?
Sorry. I did not.
It was, I like Josh's stuff, but this one was in particular was funny. I actually had to reach out to him to tell him how much I appreciate it, because he had two characters. Him and Nick were playing two typical, I guess, stereotypical forum people, right?
Oh boy.
And yeah, so they're dressed up and everything. And It was right on the money. Perfect. Perfectly done. It was amazing. And
yeah, you mean so like the type of
it yeah, watch it.
The type of person who hangs around the gear page, as opposed to the lovely people who hang around our tone group, of course.
Yeah, yes. I mean, it was, you know, it was the stereotypical person that everyone rolls their eyes at, you know. It was so basically there there's two people that they were imitating. One is the guy that's like, you know, in a Alabamian voice. Josh was doing his Alabamian voice. Like, yeah, I don't like my pedals with anything from China because China is bad. Everything China does is bad. And I'm an American and I only buy American and I only play American. And I don't even like American music. That's the only thing I like is American music. And all music's American because we're Americans. You know, it's that sort of thing. Then the other person was Nick doing a very rich lawyer to doctors. Yeah. He's like, because I have a lot of money. I don't know if you know this, but I am really, really rich. And so anyways, my point is, make sure you check that out. And
I'm actually going to watch that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good one. I forget what episode it was, but... And since this is a podcast, and they've probably done like 4,000 of them since we've done this podcast, now that you're listening. You know what we should do? We should stop and just Google what video. No,
let's
is.
All Google it.
I was going to say.
We yeah. Can just I was just thinking that you talk about the you know, the American attitude to Chinese-built product, which is obviously being lampooned by our friend Mr. Scott and is in no way serious. Oh,
title, at least right now, the title is called $1,000 Pedals, released on October 15th, 2021.
Okay.
I will check it out. But did you guys see the new, quote, unquote, new Harley Benton series of pedals?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I posted
I'm
them.
Trying to figure out, like, did they give those kids, like, a half a grain of rice a day or a full grain, do you think, to assemble those things? Just curious.
Well, I was about to say the very first sort of comments that came up on our forum were, I'm not buying a slave labor built pedal, which...
Well, I could understand that for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, that needs to be said, though, that just because something is built in some Asian market does not mean
right.
that it's like slave labor. That's
and,
that's
and,
not
and
that
was
works.
The point I was definitely going to make, because yeah. we know a little bit about the pedal market. And, you know, the manufacturers, and some of them are just really able to get really cheap, but, you know, paid well in their area, labor and parts that we can't beat. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that is the case here, because these are incredibly cheap, and it's a cheap way of me to throw shade on another company. But, you know, we don't know about any of our electronics. We don't know what really goes on in the factories that make our Apple products, a great American company, you know. So it is a really good point, because I'm all for having to pay more for products if it means people are being treated. And I think it's fair to say that, you know, part of how we do our business, Bri, is very much we would never take advantage of slave labor unless you're talking about me working through the night on designing a pedal.
I was going to say, all
I've
that,
given
all
a,
that money
a brief
that
on Friday.
I say, all that money that Blake's been earning from doing these podcasts for the past 6 years.
Oh, well, man.
Both you dollars.
Could, you could probably buy a set of strings with all that money.
Yeah. I don't think I actually can. that is a thing that a lot of people have assumed over the years, and we've talked about it probably before Richard came on, honestly. It's been a while. But I don't work for Wampler. Mm. I've actually gotten messages like about different things, you know, Wampler related, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't work for.
Sorry, Blake. For I'll Wampler stop pedals. Sending you those service requests from Brian.
Like some people are like, so can you get in touch with Brian and see what's up with my insert pedal here? I'm like, how about you call the customer service? I am not.
No. Our customer right. service is too busy answering questions about other manufacturers' pedals, because that's what we
that
do.
Is
apparently,
true. Yeah. Apparently, we're like, so I have a problem with this ABC pedal. They won't answer my emails or my calls. So can you guys help me? I'm
like, yep.
No,
that's what
no I mean,
for.
I can't. I don't have a schematic. It's not my, like, I can't do that.
Sure. I'll help you for $4,000. I will fix your pedal for you. Mm-hmm.
That's cheap, yeah, actually. I actually
have gotten emails from people looking for guests that have been on the Tone Mob podcast before.
Oh, I bet.
Like, people are like, I'm trying to get a hold of insert person here. Where are they at? And I, like, text them. I'm like, you all right? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, this person says they're trying to get a hold of you. And they're like, have them email me.
Like, yeah.
And it wasn't a thing where I don't know if they just, like, hit Google and it's the first thing that popped up or what the deal was, but they literally contacted me before they contacted the guest. It didn't make any sense, but
there's
whatever.
Some weird things like that, yeah.
I mean, that's a veiled compliment because basically you are a bit of a big thing in the industry now, Blake. I don't know whether you know that, but you've got a fan club. Oh, you definitely have. You've got a fan club out there. And they reach out to you because you're the friendly, approachable face of the Chasing Tone podcast as opposed to Brian, who is just grumpy and caffeinated.
Yeah, I've never insulted anyone on this podcast.
Not
never.
For at least 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I have an interaction with someone. I think it goes back maybe 10 or 15 messages about a dead battery in the pedal. And I'm trying to explain, when you leave it plugged in, it's going to drain the battery, right? If you don't have a plug, if you don't have a power plug in it. Like, well, my guitar's not plugged into it. And I said, well, how? That can't be. Well, it's second in line. So there's another pedal plugged into it. I'm like, it doesn't matter if your guitar, it doesn't have to be your guitar, anything with a plug. If you just put a cable with the plug in it, it starts the power circuit.
You could just put the plug in. Like, you could cut the cable in half and just stick the plug in and it will drain the battery.
Yes. Yep. Because it's taking that ground and saying, now's the time to turn on, buddy. And that's what it does.
And you're right. Not a lot of people understand that. Foolish people, clearly, because nobody would ever get a prototype pedal off Brian with a battery inside it, plug it in, and the next day think, oh, it's drained. Maybe this one drains batteries quickly. No, Richard, you just left it plugged in. But I don't normally use batteries. Batteries are weak. Don't use them.
They're for the weak.
But going back, I wouldn't insult people who use batteries, just batteries themselves. Going back to these pedals from Harley Benton, they've come up with some interesting names. The Rodent, what do we reckon that one does?
That's a tube screamer, right?
That's a tube screamer.
Yeah. Oh, it's a tube screamer. Okay.
The green tint. I mean,
the green what?
The green tint, not the green taint.
Oh.
But I am trademarking the green taint for one of our pedals. I like this one, though. The Troubadour, an acoustic simulator for electric guitars. That's an evocative name. I like the Troubadour. I'm there for that name, yeah. But the Edgy, a digital delay pedal. I wonder who they're trying to emulate with that pedal.
Steve Vai.
I think so, right? The Plexicon, I thought, was a clever name. I like that.
The Plexicon, that's pretty good.
I'm a little bit disappointed we've never thought of that name, Bri. But we've definitely thought of some of their other names that they've come out with. But yeah. What I liked about them, though, is they have actually made them look as least cheap as possible for the money. They've gone for an incredibly minimal design, and they haven't put silly notes on them. But yeah, they're going to be out soon, I'm sure, and very cheap.
I haven't seen them. Nope, sure. Have not seen them.
Well, they'll be coming out to your nearest Walmart soon. probably not.
I don't know, like, get $19 or something.
They're being advertised as £30 over here, but we do get stiffed on the price. But it may well be that the original article translated the euro price badly, because Harley Benton is essentially Toman's in-house make, isn't it? I know they're made out in the Far East, but Toman are the only company that I know that sell them.
I believe that is correct. And they have Harley Benton guitars, they have Harley Benton amplifiers, they have Harley Benton pedals now, and they're all incredibly cheap. And, you know, as with anything, I've heard good and bad about it. I've heard some people say this guitar is phenomenal. Some people say the fret wire was poking off the fretboard. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, you produce a few thousand of something, one of them is bound to be awesome.
Yes. Much like Brian's 335, which appears to be an absolute golden variant, whereas mine was all right. Nothing wrong with it, but Brian still loves his.
I do, but I've really been thinking about buying a Gibson, though. And I think I want an old one. But the big problem with that, though, is I need to go play it. And if I find one in Arizona, I don't want to have to like fly to Arizona to play it. You know?
Fly to Portland. We've got a lot of them here.
Do you? I can show you. It's got to be a Sunburst. Can't be the red one.
There's definitely some. I like the red, but I just saw Sunburst one last weekend when I was at one of my favorite stores, Strum PDX, the vintage guitar store where you can also get a pint of beer while you're shopping around. It's wonderful.
Really?
Yeah.
That sounds jolly civilized.
So it's a guitar store and a bar.
Yeah, they've got a bunch of beer and cider on tap. It's really, really nice. It's very awesome.
Yeah. That's a good idea. I wonder how you would do that. I don't think you'd do that in Indiana because you might offend. Never mind. I'm not even going into politics. But anyways.
Free bag of meth if you buy a guitar with us. Does that work in Indiana? Allegedly, from what I've been told by
Apparently,
Travis.
You get your bag of meth by stealing people's gear and then selling it at the music store.
The worst Speaking crime theft, ever.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of theft, we have more gear crime to cover.
Can we have like
podcast.
A police siren and like a sort of little theme tune when we go into the guitar crime section? Mm-hmm. Hold on, the guitar crime section is my solo bit where I play one of my guitar solos really, really badly.
No. Was that
Carry
Wayne's
on.
World thing?
Yes.
That was a reference, yes. Mm-hmm. So Russian Circles is a band that apparently neither of you guys have heard of, but they're a very good band. They had a bunch of their gear stolen. They had some pretty unique stuff that was pretty identifiable. They have stuff from the old First Act custom shop. I don't know if you guys remember that back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
They did a lot of really, people snicker at it, but First Act had a legit custom shop that did really, really nice work back in the...
First Act are the Hello Kitty people, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the brand.
The Daisy
Rock. They actually
Rock.
Had some very high-end...
Hello Kitty products.
mostly they were... So the guy behind that is named Jimmy Archie, and he runs 30th Street Guitars in New York now, which is a pretty well-known, really awesome guitar store in New York City. But he spearheaded the First Act custom shop, and also he was the guy, the brains behind the Volkswagen guitar that they did. That I actually own one of.
You say brains. These are like inverted quotes around the word brains. That Volkswagen guitar was a bit weird, wasn't it?
No, it's dope. It's super cool.
Volkswagen guitar.
Yeah, the Volkswagen guitar is awesome. It looks cool. It plays great. And the distortion circuit in it is awesome. Awesome.
I remember the distortion being built in. I'm still not sure I believe you that it's awesome, but
it is awesome.
I trust you. So I'm okay. First Act Garage Master Limited. Okay, it's not what I was thinking about. Yeah, that does actually look pretty nice. I was thinking, yeah. I'm sure at some point I've seen one that looks like a Beetle. And
that looks like a Brian May guitar.
Yeah, kinda. That's kind of kinda. Very Burnsy, especially with how they've done the split pick guards and that. There's nothing wrong with that. I take it all back, Blake.
Yeah, they're cool. I'm looking at it right now. I have the white and red one, which I believe is the Slash model. They had a Slash model.
Good colors.
They had a John Mayer model, and they had a Nigel Tufnel model, actually.
Nigel Tufnel model.
Yeah, they did. They did. It was brilliant. It was a brilliant marketing thing. If you guys don't remember, maybe the listeners do, I'm not sure. They literally had a commercial with all of these guitar players. You plugged in, this is when auxiliary ins were a new thing. You literally plug your guitar into the auxiliary input and play through your car stereo, which is why it had that onboard distortion circuit. So
I bet that was a really great sound through those four-inch speakers.
Amazing. Oh, yeah.
It was in the commercial. I never plugged into a car. I do know that it sounds great into a tube amp. It sounds so good. It's actually let me see if I can remember. In fact, I think I messaged Jimmy about this a while ago. Let's see if
about
I still
what
have
distortion
it.
Circuits in it.
Exactly. He knew exactly what it was, and it was something.
I'm going to guess DOD OD250 or Distortion Plus?
I love the 250, but that's not what it is. Oh, it's it was the V-Stack circuit, which I think was a... Is that a V-Stack? Tech21 product? No, that V-Stack. Isn't right.
Yeah, that's V-Stack. A Craig Anderson thing, isn't it?
Oh, here we go. This guy... oh, yes. Yeah, yeah. This guy, Steve Webster, built them out of Toronto. Is that bringing any bells there, Brian?
Huh, no.
Yeah, Steve Webster V-Stack circuit, apparently. It's a Marshall. It's basically a Marshall in a box type of thing.
I was thinking that's a Craig Anderton circuit. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. I'm trying to pull it up here. V-Stack Tweedy.
Brian is currently processing the schematic through his retinal scanner. It will take a little bit of time for him to hear the sound in his brain. But in a minute, he's going to just sing to you, audience. Don't worry.
Yeah, I wish.
Yeah, he's going to open up his mouth and it'll be just an open E chord through that circuit is what will happen. It's an amazing bit of AI that he has in his brain. It's really, really impressive.
I'm looking for the V-Stack schematics. I'm not finding it.
This is depressing. Sure. Did you Google V-Stack Steve Webster?
I did, yes. Hmm.
Well, we'll have to look for that later, see if we can figure it out. All that to say, Russian Circle's got their gear stolen and it's not
back
cool.
On point, yeah. Well played, Blake.
After I dive into a brief history of First Act guitars being actually legit. Now, they got picked up by the heavy music community, primarily the First Act custom shop stuff. My dude, Scott Middleton, who used to be in Cancer Bats, one of my favorite bands, he played a First Act for a while.
Are you just making these bands up? Did you take two random words and make them up?
Cancer Bats rips, dude. Like, they're awesome. They got riffs for days. Great band out of Canada. But yeah. So Russian Circles, there was a punchline to that story that's actually not terrible. What happened?
No,
there?
It's a feel-good story because one of the manufacturers, and I don't think it was First Act, I think it's the Electric... I think they called the Electric Guitar Company. I forget what they're called, actually.
Oh, Electrical Guitar Company? The aluminum guitars.
Yeah. They had the bits in stock to pretty much make an almost identical replica of the dude's bass. So they did, and they gave it to him. And I just thought, you know, yeah, there's a lot of gear companies that do that. But it's lovely to see it when it happens. Just to see a little bit of someone took this guy's livelihood away. It isn't going to hurt us, you know, to lose one guitar. Let's give this back. I would feel so good if someone did something like that for me. So kudos to that company and whoever arranged that. That makes me really happy.
Yeah, Kevin over at Electrical Guitar Company. Electrical Guitar Company makes some great stuff. I love it.
Really nice. Yeah, I was checking the website out.
They're super cool.
Yeah.
I hope to get Kevin on the podcast one of these days. I really want to pick his brain.
Stop plugging your silly podcast. You're on the Chasing Tone podcast here, bro. This is serious podcasting.
Oh, wait, what?
We talk about aliens.
Yes. And we never have guests on this podcast. Oh, wait, no. What's happening next week?
Shh. Ooh. Nothing.
Can we plug that? Can we plug that?
No. Ooh. I'm just gonna say it isn't David Gilmour for anyone that's wondering if we finally reached the top
anyone
tier.
Anyone who plays in a band related to Pink Floyd.
No.
Well,
but it
may
is
do.
Somebody that...
You never
well,
know.
Maybe he has. Do we know that for a fact?
No.
We don't know that.
And moving swiftly along, therefore.
Hancock. Anyway.
Tony Hancock, what, the 1960s British comedian? No, he's dead,
yes,
dude.
Yes, yes. Yeah, definitely.
That's
Tony
a really
Hancock.
Rare reference there for some people. I was once told I looked like Tony Hancock, but I don't see it. The other thing that came out today, not today, yesterday, actually, because... I was in the middle of a meeting with Jake Steffs, our head engineer, when suddenly I realized that I'd missed all the Apple news. Big MacBook Pros have been released. Have you seen them?
I know. 64 gigs of onboard. I didn't look at all the specs, because I was going to get mad because I'm not going to buy
one. Well, look, you've got a good MacBook now anyway, right? You've got one of the new M1 MacBooks.
I have a MacBook Air M1. Yeah, it's been very serviceable for what I.
No, they're really powerful.
I will say, in my opinion, and I blame people I talk to, slightly overhyped, honestly, but very good overall. Slightly overhyped.
Apples are always slightly overhyped. But I'll tell you something that I've learned from years of upgrading CPUs and GPUs is you never really notice the difference when you move upwards as much as you think. But go back to the technology you were using before and you'll be like, I can't believe how slow this is. So it's probably greater than you realize, but also overhyped for sure.
It's better than what I was using for sure, because I was using a 2009 Mac Pro Tower. I still have it, but I did go ahead and upgrade a bunch of things in it kind of around the same time that I got the Air, just for kicks, because I'm still using it for storage and whatever. And I have to say, honestly, if for my purposes, like mostly audio, a little bit of video, with the upgrades, my 2009 is really good. If it was compatible software-wise with all the new stuff, I wouldn't have bothered upgrading to the Air. I would have just upgraded the RAM and the hard drive the way I did. And it's honestly still a very good machine for how old it is. It's astonishingly good.
I mean, I'm running on I think this is a 2015 iMac, and it's pretty much long in the tooth now. Late 2014 Retina 3.5 gig quad core i5.
Quad core.
Oh, I've got all four cores running deep. But it still does, you know, I run very processor intensive programs, but it has reached the point because we have been doing some very complex graphical work with some of our recent designs, especially for that pedal company we do things with. And, you know, I can drag.
Oh, JHS.
To be fair, I would imagine their style of graphics wouldn't tax my processor because that's pretty nice, minimal stuff. This stuff I've been working with, I can drag something across the screen, sit down, make a cup of tea, read the newspaper, and it's eventually dragged across to where I wanted it by the time I've done all this. So I need
that's
a
frustrating.
Mac. It's really frustrating, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so apparently mine's 2017, which actually floors me because I feel like it's brand new, but apparently it's not brand new.
But I think you bought it in 2018.
Yeah, I bought it in 2018.
So that's all right. I did get this in 2015.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm noticing, especially working with like 4K video, a lot of 4K video, it just slows it down. Even with, I don't even, how much RAM do I have? 64 gigs maybe?
I think so, yeah.
So it still can be slow sometimes.
This is what the new MacBook Pro, so it comes in three flavors if you go for the 16-inch.
I like the cherry myself,
so
that flavor.
Yeah, the cherry flavor, or the Max as they call it, that has, I think off the top of my head, something like 12 core CPU and like a 32 core GPU. So it's definitely optimized for video editing. But it's about £3,500. So unless Father Christmas...
That is heavy.
That's a lot of money.
That's a nice ES-335 right there.
Yeah. Or or three not-so-nice Fender Strats in my world.
Or 350 used first-act guitars.
Yeah. Or, no, we're going to stop this now because my maths is not going to do me justice. But I was about to say... Or 18 of the new pedal we're about to release.
Ooh.
But we're not about to release a new pedal and we haven't set a price.
18, so how much does that come out to? I mean, I'll get my calculator out here real quick.
I'm not even sure which. What I know is we're working on three pedals at three different price ranges. So one of those will fit that. That's my going.
Watch them come out and then none of them add up to that.
Well, you have to buy 30. We should do a thing where if you buy 30... you get one free.
I think that's a good
130.
Yeah.
Guitar Center would be like, we need our 300 free pedals, please.
I like it. And on the subject of pedals, because this is what we like to talk about, Diamond Effects.
What, I know.
What have we heard about those dudes? Because aren't they like the kings of compressors?
RIP is what I hear about Diamond pedals.
I don't like the sound of that. That doesn't sound joyful and positive.
I don't think it is. This sounds like they have closed up shop. Nobody seems to really know why, but that does seem to be the case, unfortunately.
I mean, they've been going for ages.
They were one of the first bigger names out of the Canadian pedal builder scene. They had the Compressor, which everyone loved, and then the Memory Lane and Memory Lane Junior analog delays were huge there for a while too.
The Fireburst was one of my first boutique pedals. Not my first one, but one of my first that I bought. And in fact, I just bought a Firebird when once I heard they were going out of business. I bought a Fireburst and a Compressor, so that should be here today, tomorrow.
Well, that's probably saved their business single-handedly, Bri. You're such a generous dude.
I do what I can. No, I mean, I don't know. I mean, they make some good stuff. The only thing I was thinking about this today, I think you and I were talking about Blake. Maybe it might have been Blake actually. They never really changed the look over the years. I mean, they were huge when I was just first getting into pedals, mm-hmm. like manufacturing. They were huge, or at least very wildly popular online. And I guess I just assumed they were trucking right along. I heard people talking about their Compressor an awful lot.
But, yeah, it feels like to me, I mean, who knows what the personal situations are over there? You'd hate to speculate too much.
Yeah, and you really can't.
But from outside looking in, if I'm putting my marketing hat on, they really haven't done much. They really went hard in the PGS days. There's a lot of Andy videos, if you go, which is obviously, that was the cream of the crop marketing-wise back then.
Yeah.
And still, Andy's amazing, but you got to adjust your strategy over time if you want to stay relevant. And it doesn't appear that Diamond ever did, as far as, like, the products still look awesome from a feature standpoint and sonically and build quality-wise. I don't think that ever slipped at all, but the marketing and presentation seemed to kind of be stuck in 2010.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know a guy who can help them. He's kind of tied up with another pedal company, though.
It seems like, though, that, you know, sometimes you'll see brands go through that, and it doesn't really affect them. You know, they can kind of just keep doing what they do. But I think in general, that doesn't work for most companies.
Yeah,
you've got to adapt to the changing markets and the changing, you know, change. Keep your brand fresh. Keep your things going and. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
But again, I have no idea. They might have been selling gobs and gobs of pedals and just decided they weren't into it anymore.
Yeah, that retired off to the Bahamas in their speedboat. I mean, for sure, we don't sell the indie guitarist mega hyperplextortion pedals with stickers anymore because, one, we've run out of stickers, and two, we've stopped allowing Brian to take sole responsibility for the name, which he still sulks about. Every time we come up with a brick wall on a pedal name,
call it the Drive Stortion.
I just want to call it that and go. I did. I was chatting to my cousin Paul, who is a patron and therefore a listener as well, earlier, and he told me a couple of very interesting things. One of which is Trader Joe's makes a steak and ale pie, which you must go and immediately try, Blake.
I'm very excited. I'm a big fan of Trader Joe's, so. Yeah.
A steak and ale pie in America, that's a big thing. But he was telling me the naming problem isn't unique to the pedal world. It's also something they really suffer from in the craft beer world because there are so many craft beer companies out there coming up. Oh, we're going to call this the Feisty...
Hot for Teacher.
I mean, I was going to go with the Feisty Troll, but Hot for Teacher is a better name.
There's a local beer company that has a IPA called that, Hot for Teacher.
I was going to say, I guarantee you that name is taken already. Yep.
Yeah, that's I love it.
I mean, we have Iron Maiden beer over here. The Trooper is their sort of signature pale ale, and there are various incarnations, and it's lovely.
We've joked about it before. We need a craft Wampler beer.
I think this is the germination of the Chasing Tone Brewery Company, guys.
The Chasing Tone Brewery.
I used to brew beer.
Used to brew beer. My dad used to run all the pubs in this local area. And Brian likes to
drink a lot of beer.
Yeah. we're made for this business.
So there is, I think I've talked about, I don't remember if I've talked about this on the podcast or not. You guys have to get here. You guys have to come
here. It's being planned as we speak.
Now there's two stores. It was a sole store, but now there are two. There's a place in Portland called John's Market, and it is the Walmart of beer. You go into John's Market, and it's not a huge store, but it's not tiny. If I had to guess, it's probably 2,000 square feet or so. That's just off
about the size of one of Brian's bathrooms, then.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yep.
Yeah.
But it is
the size of my goat barn.
It's all beer and cider, all from all around the world. It's just
I'm not a fan of the cider as much.
Oh, I love me some cider. Ooh, cider is good. I don't like Angry Orchard, but that's because it's too sweet.
Never tried either Cornish or Devonian cider, Cornwall and Devon being two counties that are right next to each other in the West Country of the UK, famous Cornish cider it will just kill you. It's just cloudy. And the reason it's cloudy is it just seeps into you and destroys every brain cell in your body. You need to try it when you come over here. My first time I ever got very, very drunk was on the cheapest cider called Merrydown, which is about 12% alcohol. And I drank like 750 centiliters of it in like one go, and it really hit me. Wow.
So over here, that would be Mad Dog 2020. That'd be our cheap cider. It's not cider, but...
It's disgusting. That's not cider at all.
Yeah, everyone instantly probably like, oh, my stomach. Oh.
Over here, cider's considered terrible. To be junior beer. So, you know, when you're a kid and you're not old enough to drink, you know, the real good stuff, you'll have a pint of cider in a pub or something like that. It'll make you a bit tipsy. Giving beer to children since the 17th century. Great Britain, ladies and gentlemen.
But yeah, John's Market. You guys come here. We're going to John's Market, and you didn't even know that there was this much beer, varieties of beer. It's insane. It's so great. Just walls and walls and walls of different beers from around the world. I know where I'm going later. Woo! This is going to be great. All right. What are we talking about?
I don't know.
Alcoholism, apparently.
My alcoholism is flaring up again.
So I have two things that I want to discuss.
Take one, 10 milligrams of THC and call me in the morning.
One is guitar bows, which I'll come on to in a second. Before we get onto that, I'm going to my first gig since the pandemic started in a couple of weeks. And it's a really poor venue. I mean, it's a beautiful, luxurious venue, but it's not known to be a great concert venue, let's just say. And I'm a bit nervous about it. The infection rates of coronavirus are going up again in this country. I am worried about going and standing in a concert, but I'm going to do it.
You've had your vaccines. You've got antibodies. You're good, dude. You're fine.
Well, there is that, but, also I am a massive wuss, so I'm worried that I'm going to catch some sort of cold-based disease, think I'm dying, and then actually die from it. But, so that's happening, and I just wondered if you guys had any similar nervousness about going to concerts.
I do. Yeah, I do. Go ahead, Blake, though.
Not really. Around here, everyone's got for every show that I've gone to quite a few actually lately, and I'm going to another one this weekend. But every venue around here is requiring people either be tested or have a vaccine, which might be a bit controversial, but
don't
I think
go
that
political
the,
on me now, dude.
The only we, real way I've to be safe is, so to get, is to get tested, you know?
Test for antibodies?
Yeah. Or negative test, you know, whatever. So I'm the most tested man in America probably recently. I've had like 5 tests in the last 3 weeks just because I'm going to walk the walk or talk the talk. I'm going to try to walk the walk.
I will say I have been pretty hesitant on going to concerts just because even though I did get the vaccine. So I still am a little bit nervous about it. I still don't like the idea of it. And I think it's because I'm a massive germaphobe to begin with. That probably has something to do with it, if I had to guess.
Yeah, I was just so, I think my excitement just completely outweighed any nervousness. I was just, I'm so ready to see shows, and it's been, honestly, it's been wonderful. It feels really good.
Richard, you just got to kill it with fire, you know?
Well, I'm all up for killing
your bong.
My what now?
Just huh? Your bong.
I don't have one of those. I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, if you had, you know, if you partook in the tobacco.
Oh, you're even talking about for hookah purposes, right?
Yes, hookah.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. Prostitution is still illegal over here. I know it's legal in many states over there, but not over here at the moment, guys. But thanks for the thoughts. No, I mean, this is a stand-up concert too. So I think I'd feel better if it was a, you know, everyone is sat in their seats. But this is a stand-up concert. We're going to probably end up somewhere near the front, near the moshy bit. And there is going to be some spit flying around.
I think all concerts are stand-up concerts, though.
Not in this country. Some are seated. Like,
at least here, if it's a good band, they have seats. But as soon as the band comes on, you're standing up, you know?
Yeah, but this
shaking
is...
shaking your butt, doing some dancing.
This is a hall with no TikToks. Seats. Everybody's standing up. Everybody's at the front.
Those are pretty much the only shows I go to. So.
I mean, they're the best. Don't get me wrong. I don't mind, like, as funny as this will sound to you, watching Gilmore play, sat down... If you've taken the right medication that day, is a very pleasant experience. And is, you know, there was no part of me that really wanted to stand up in the middle of his 18-minute long solo.
That's just because you could. That's not the same thing.
It's because if you stood up, you'd get lost.
Yeah, I'd get lost and cry for my mummy. I have to say, I'm a big fan of, you know, getting involved with the music.
Is it odd that every time you go to a Pink Floyd concert, you're like, this is the longest concert I've ever been to?
That's never happened to me. They go so quickly.
Oh, okay. I just learned.
No, the one where I deliberately chose to sit down rather than go and stand up is Anthrax. Because, guys, I'm just too young, too old to go and stand moshing with a load of... hip, long-haired rockers. It's just not going to work with me. So I'm going to sit down and like an old man and mosh from the back for that one.
just a slight head nod instead of headbang, right?
Yeah,
just
and I'll look around nervously, see if anyone notices. No, I might bang it a bit harder. Make a little
snap of the fingers.
Yeah.
Boy, this sure is a catchy tune. Isn't this just swell?
I mean, you've seen that heavy metal band that all dress like Ned Flanders. I think they're called Oakley Dokley.
Yes, I forgot about that.
I mean, I'm there for that. That's the future of metal for me. Everybody with a nice, comfortable green sweater and a big moustache.
Fred Durst at whatever festival that was? I forget, but he was totally dressed up like a dad, like just had the big old shoes. He had the slacks. He was just embracing it.
I actually thought that was Brian, but yeah, it was Fred Durst.
Actually thinking of James Hetfield. Whenever that meme that says, you know, Metallica fans, and it has someone with, you know, that looks like a typical Metallica
like
fan.
Jeans jacket that's all ripped and patches. Yeah. And
he's like singer Metallica and he's completely dadded up, you know.
He looked comfortable. Let me just go out and say.
Plaid shorts.
Yeah, he looked good.
Nice little dress shoes. Mm-hmm. Little polo shirt. Got it. You know, I get it. Not everybody can rock a Pink Floyd t-shirt. You know?
I swear you've worn that for at least 3 podcasts now and... You're just doing it to taunt me. This is nothing other than pure tauntage from you.
You know what? You know what? The comment that I get the most about this shirt that astonishes me in a negative way is the
what
amount,
brand is that?
The superficiality of it all. Because literally, the biggest comment I get is, so I see you bought that from Kohl's. I'm like, the fuck does it matter? What are you, like...
Oh, it's not genuine band merch. I'm a terrible person.
I was at a store with my wife. I'm like, I'm going to get that. It looks like a comfortable shirt. Plus, Richard will laugh.
I mean, they're the two reasons you should.
Isn't... Wait, Why does it matter where you bought it as long as it's like officially licensed merch?
I don't know. You tell me. We'll both know.
I guarantee you that the Kohl's is paying Pink Floyd for that shirt.
Oh, yeah. You know they are.
If not, so. Dave, give me a call. Not only will I tell you where Brian lives so you can find out who to sue, but we'll invite you on the podcast too because we might have a few questions.
To me, it just seems so superficial. I'm like, why do you... I have the money to go buy a different Pink Floyd shirt. But I chose this one because it was convenient. You know, I mean, I just don't get it. I don't get that.
I don't understand it either. But it's like all those youngsters with their multicolored hair and their big ear piercings, wearing band T-shirts for bands they clearly cannot name the last four albums that were released by.
So, or the bass player.
Yeah, that too.
I'm just amazed that you guys can afford shirts with sleeves on it. I still haven't made enough money for that yet.
I didn't know if it was because of that or just because your arms are so damn big they pop out of them.
No, it's a money thing. I can't afford a whole shirt.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Over in England, it's illegal to wear the sort of shirt you're wearing in the street.
Why?
Because it's thuggish. We don't like, you know how, like in states of America, we don't you don't allow people to carry bottles of alcohol unless they're in a brown paper bag, which I've never really understood. It's the same thing over here. We won't allow muscular guys to wear tank tops. It makes us feel very small and demure. and speaking of small and demure, so Bri, you shared this guitar bow thing.
I bought one. Yep, it's on its way to me.
Oh, guitar see, bow.
Now, yes, it is called the Pixabow. Pixabow.com, in case you're wondering.
It's got an A in it. P-I-C-K-A-S-O-B-O-W.
You're right. Pixabow.
It's a little bit of a mouthful, to be fair.
Yeah. So, terrible name.
Yeah,
but
guys, call me if you need marketing help. No, I'm joking.
I mean, like, I saw a samurai guitarist playing one. I'm like, wow, that literally sounds like a fiddle.
Does it really?
You know? Yeah, it sounds like a fiddle.
When I think of guitars and bows, I think of two things. I think of Jimmy Page playing one, and I think it was on the Song Remains the Same video, which was the only live Led Zeppelin video you could get for years and years, which I tried to love, but it was awful, and it was interspersed with some weird crap. And yet, I didn't really dig on him playing a guitar with a bow. And then I think of Nigel Tufnel, who we mentioned earlier, who, of course, used a violin as a bow on a guitar. And that was much more amusing, but also sounded as bad as Jimmy Page. So
right, but see, I'm looking at it like I've been in this situation where you're in a band, there's not a fiddle player, but there's a clear fiddle part that needs to be done. And you try to dink with it on a guitar, and like this totally destroys the song. But with that bow, I think one could actually pull that stuff off.
I want to try it. That looks like a lot of fun, honestly. It really does.
Like all the videos I could find actually sounded pretty damn good.
I'm thinking of like using this thing with massive amounts of delay. Yeah, and right.
How did I know that was coming?
Yeah,
I should point out it's to the listeners, it's not a pedal, it's a device. So it's literally like a little bow that you use.
It's essentially a miniature bow.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
But it's not like an e-bow that kind of resonates your pickups for you or anything like that, or your strings on your pickups.
No, it's like a bow with hair and you use resin. It's literally like a little fiddle bow. Mm-hmm. Violin bow, if you will.
I would love to hear someone like Andy Wood, who has just the most ridiculous bluegrass technique anyway on every instrument ever, using something like this. This would be amazing.
Yeah, this is actually way more exciting than I thought it was going to be when you were first describing it. This is cool.
It actually is pretty cool, as far as I can tell. I will have to let you know how it goes. I'm sure I'll do like some ticker talker videos.
Yeah, you've got to do some videos of that.
I've been enjoying the TikTok platform much more than anything else lately, including
much more than Instagram.
Instagram can
How
kiss
can
my
you
ass.
Not love and, Instagram?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. We should probably tell everybody that you're back.
Oh, yeah. We're back.
We are back. Yes. Yeah. We finally got it back. I only had to call in some favors from
Or did we already talk about that?
We did talk about this, but it's okay because we forget everything we say, Blake.
I think we talked about it on the Patreon.
Dude, have you ever seen The Wire? It's awesome.
I started it, but then like my HBO subscription lapsed, so I didn't ever finish it.
Oh, man, you've got to watch that show. this bow looks great. And yeah, I look forward to you going to have a little fiddle with yourself there, Brian.
Play all my Shania Twain cover songs.
That's right.
Nice.
And a man of mine. She better love me.
Better say, I like it like that.
I got away with making a masturbation joke. that's all I've got for this week.
We're going to get crucified for that, Richard, and it's your fault.
Well, don't bring religion into this.
Oh, great. Now we got to delete that part too.
Well, if we're deleting stuff, then let me just tell you about the new insert bleeps here.
Wow, what else do we got? I lost my train of thought completely. We got Joe B and action figures we talked about. We talked about
goat
Apple stuff.
Intruders. Maybe we should talk about that on the Patreon. I want to know all about your goat intruders.
Yeah, we can't talk about all the details of the goat thing on this. So we'll get into
it. And also, I would like to talk about the theory espoused by a scientist whose first name is Arvi, which, you know, we thought it's not the same Arvi, clearly, but, you know, he's obviously a guy of science who says the universe was created in a lab.
All right. Well, that's a let's jump over to Patreon and talk about some of that stuff. Thanks to everyone for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Chasing Tone podcast. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can email podcast@wamplerpedals.com and I'll personally get your email. To email Blake, simply email info@tonemob.com and Richard can be reached at richard@wamplerpedals.com. If you'd like to show your support for the show, the simplest and free way to do that is simply to share this podcast with a friend, leave a review and a rating wherever you normally get your podcasts. Also, check out Blake's podcast called The Tone Mob, and make sure you check out WamplerPedals.com for blogs, videos, and of course, guitar effects. If you'd like to hear the post-podcast conversations and to get even more content, to be one of the cool kids on the bus, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/ChasingTonePodcast. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.